Shalom Aleichem, I hope everything is well. This is Yosef Bronstein, re-recording a shiur that I had discussed to give to the Avreichim HaMachon Zemar Ta'aretz about the topic of Torah's Eretz Yisrael, mainly based on the writings of Rav Kook. So in the previous session, we discussed the Yichud between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaaleh, mainly from the vantage point of Klalim and Pratim. The Torah Shebichtav encapsulates or focuses on the general values of Judaism, the general principles of Yahdus, and Torah Shebaaleh focuses more on the details of the details of Halacha, which practicalize and concretize and give a framework through which to live out those amazing values. And we discussed how Torah Shebichtav, Bayis Rishon was one way, Bayis Sheni with one emphasis, Bayis Sheni a second emphasis, and the ultimate building Bayis Shlishi, it was going to require a synthesis between the two. Today's shiur is going to be about a different type of yichud between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaaleh. Not Klalim and Pratim, though Emirat Hashem will dovetail nicely, but the Yichud of Toras HaNistar and Toras HaNigla. Because as we'll see, Rav Kook sees Toras HaNistar, and we'll see what he means by that, as an heir, as a subsidiary of Koach HaNevuah, and therefore when Toras HaNistar and Toras HaNigla are learned together, and learned in conjunction with each other and are synthesized, that also creates this Yichud between Toras Shebichtav and Toras Shebaaleh, which is part and parcel of Toras Eretz Yisrael. So there are many ways, I guess, to introduce this topic, but just for a little bit of background, it's going to become relevant for one part of the shiur. Let's do a little bit of background in terms of what is the definition of Torah Lishma. We know that learning Torah Lishma is the highest form of learning Torah. But what does it mean to learn Torah Lishma? So if you ask some of the early Hasidim, Torah Lishma means Torah L'shem Dveikus, Torah for the sake of being nizdabeg, of cleaving, of feeling connected, cleaving to Hashem. Not in a way not in a way that is super conscious, that is a way that is super rational, a way you can't experience, but in a way that is very experiential, in a way that is very conscious, in a way that is felt by the learner. Look in Yosher Divrei Emes, one of the early books of Hasidus. He writes of the main form of learning Torah Lishma has to be for the sake of cleaving to Hashem. The more you learn, you're going to feel closer to Hashem while you are learning, and the more you learn. So the learning Torah is supposed to be a spiritual, almost like, I guess you could use the word ecstatic experience, where you feel closer to Hashem, tokh kedei the learning. As is probably well known, the Nefesh HaChayim takes a different approach towards the definition of Torah Lishma. As he points out, a lot of the content of Torah Shebaaleh is about oxen and cows, shor shenagag hazavara, about details of halacha, about what part of them is beyond the blood of a carbon should go on, and these things have to be analyzed as you analyze other disciplines. And therefore, tokh kedei the limud, you may not necessarily always feel super spiritual. I haven't gone through Nefesh HaChayim Shaar HaDalad in a long time, so my apologies. My recollection is that he does say that for people of higher levels of Ruchnios, higher levels of spirituality, they will feel different. Tokh kedei d'limud. Soloveitchik, in his 1975 speech, I think to the Reitz alumni convention, does to speak about how he does feel divine presence on his shoulder when he's learning Gemara. Because even though in his other essay, Al Avas Torah Gluot Nefesh Ador, he talks about Kanas Mok and Galas Mok, that sometimes you feel connected to Hashem when you're learning, sometimes you have to use your analytical mind when you're learning, and you don't necessarily feel the spirituality. But Nefesh HaChayim says a lot of the content is not necessarily so conducive to feeling spiritual. Therefore, what is the definition of Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma means it's learning Torah for the sake of understanding Torah. Why is understanding the Torah important? Because b'metzius, because in reality, whether or not you feel it, whether or not you experience it, learning Torah connects you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a deeper and more profound fashion than anything else in this world. And therefore, you are Dovuk to Hashem when you are learning Torah, whether you experience it or not. And that is one of the major thrusts of Nefesh HaChayim Shaar HaDalad. He says, before you learn and after learning, you should think about what's going to happen, tokh kedei the learning. But tokh kedei the learning, you are learning, trying to understand what the sefer, the text that's in front of you. But b'metzios, you are being Dovuk by Hashem when you are doing that, even though it's not necessarily experienced consciously. So this is the way Nefesh HaChayim starts off Shaar HaDalad. Oy lenu miyom adin, oy lenu miyom atachachal, vun bitula shal Torah. People are being mevatel Torah. Why are people being mevatel Torah? Because they misunderstand what is Torah Lishma. What do they think? Gam ze prichatel sakama amonim atma mezik Torah kadosha, b'chashon ki'ina lishma perish devikos kudakotob lehefsik. Some people think, i.e. some of the early Hasidim, that the Torah Lishma means devikos kudakotob lehefsik, to feel connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, tokadei the limud. They think there is no to'elas towards one learning if they learn without feeling this connection. And therefore he goes on to give a variant definition of Torah Lishma. So you have these two competing definitions of Torah Lishma in mind, in terms of the experience of the learner and what is the highest form of learning. With that in mind, with that in the background, let's go see some of what Rav Kook writes as part of Torah Seretz Yisrael. Ma'amar HaRiya, page 79, is part of an essay Rav Kook wrote entitled Torah Seretz Yisrael. So in that essay, Rav Kook discusses a bunch of things, but this is one of the key points. Rishas avodasa shel Torah Seretz Yisrael tzrichalios mechuvenes begichud chasir es aburos buros saburos shalchinek mandeiv apanimi shabatorah. Torah Seretz Yisrael, in the beginning of its path, has to be geared towards removing the ignorance of the mandei pnimi, the inner aspect of the Torah. What does that mean? What does that include? Seal chilak nizgav. This is the exalted part of the Torah. Shakol inyane, or the exalted part, shakol inyane halev toli berak ashos deos amudos, things that are connected to emotions, experiences, and hashkafos. Shukolos, what is included in this? Token ha'agada, musar, mechkar, kabbalah, chastidos, philosophia, piyot, im kol tzedei marabim vashonim. These are the areas of Torah that are non-halachic, non-legal, but they address the one's outlook on life, one's emunos v'deos, and one's regashos, one's emotions, and one's experiences. Let's go over the list again. Agada, musar, mechkar, kabbalah, chastidos, philosophia, piyot. What does Rav Kook say about these things? Kol ilahim anafim mitoras ha'nevuah. The Nevuah is something that is unique to Eretz Yisrael, as Rav Kook writes, as Rav Kook, you know, takes in the Kuzari, and really from some statements in Chazal. And nowadays we don't have Nevuah, but we have the heirs of Nevuah, the Anafim of Nevuah. The Anafim of Nevuah are all these areas of Torah that are Nisgav regarding the Lev, Regashos, Deos, and Amunos, which are the non-halachic parts of the Torah. And if we want to get back into Torah's Eretz Yisrael, we have to start focusing on these things again, even though these things were not part of the regular curriculum for many, many Jews, for many, many generations. So the beginning of Torah's Eretz Yisrael is re-engaging these parts of the curriculum. So you already start seeing Rav Kook is connecting a certain part of Torah with Regesh and Deos and Amunos, with the experience of with the experience of Dveikos Bashem, of feeling something different while you're learning, and these things are part of Torah Sanavua, and we're bringing back Torah Sanavua. Last week we discussed it from the perspective of Klalim versus Pratim. Now we're discussing it in terms of the experiential element. If you skip down to two pieces down, Rav Kook was really into re-engaging all of those things as part of the mainstream curriculum, but he had a particular emphasis on Sisrei Torah and Sifrei Kabbalah. I guess you would say he has an essay, you know, ultimately Sifrei Kabbalah on a higher level than Sifrei Chassidus, according to Rav Kook, but that area of Torah. Looking over at the Torah, Yod Teh Zayin, Rav Kook writes, Masai Yotov Lomot Sisrei Torah. When is it a good idea to learn Sisrei Torah? So somebody might say, when you're 40, you know, when you're Mali Kreso Bashas, all of these things have been said before in the Jewish tradition. What does Rav Kook say? Kishatshuka pnimit shel kirvas Hashem hi chazaka misalemus gaveres, when your inner desire for feeling close to Hashem, the experiential element, is strong and it get in intensifying, ad shel titein min manoach nefesh, until it doesn't give you rest. Ve'ina masbias chavtza b'shum token b'chaniyev kadosh b'olam. Until that desire is not satiated with any other form of kadosh content and ruchani content in the world, i.e., probably presumably he's referring to regular Torah, except for this inner logic that discusses the secrets of the world. This is what is meant, one of the things that's meant by learning Torah Lishma. So here you have, in this piece, you have a cook saying, Torah Lishma. And in this sense, Rav Kook has multiple definitions of Torah Lishma, which are all connected in some way. But in this definition of Torah Lishma is satiating this chukah pnimis of kirbat Hashem. What do you have to learn in order to engage this? It's not enough to have regular tochen mukani v'kadosh b'olam. You need to have sisrei Torah, and that is there to satiate this deep desire to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you see Rav Kook is basically saying that when a person feels this deep desire to learn, feel close to Hashem, they should learn Sisrei Torah, which again is a different benchmark of when one should learn Sisrei Torah than is often given in the Masorah. There's a lot to talk about in terms of the disclosure of the secrets as we get closer to Mashiach, in that Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus themselves predict. So here you have Rav Kook not taking sides, but focusing on a certain definition of Torah Lishma, the experiential element, on the element of Nevuah, which is clearly more experiential than intellectual, or has a much deeper experiential side than learning Gemara, that is there in a subsidiary fashion, in a devolved fashion. When learns Sisri Torah, we don't have Nevuah nowadays, but Sisri Torah is on the same continuum to satiate that Tshuka Pnimis, that experiential notion of Torah Lishma. Rav Kook says this explicitly in other places as well, that he connects Torah Lishma to feeling close to Hashem, like the early Sefer Chasidus, but particularly with the notion of learning Sisrei Torah. And the earliest books of Chasidus do this as well. Here we're learning Torah to Rav Kook. Rav Kook writes, Ikra, next piece, there are also Torah base. Ikra lima Torah Lishma, binyanam ruchaniyam, is kaim darak pshuto. The main part and aspect of learning Torah Lishma, binyanam ruchaniyam, when you're learning spiritual things, it is literal. Kaim darak pshuto. Ki kirvach Hashem, or mos ha-kudusha gliyavam. Because these things have explicit and revealed closeness to Hashem. Rather, the person feels elevated through them. What about when one learns Nigla? What about when one learns regular Sifrei Halacha? If you look to the end of the piece, Rav Kook writes, hadavar rach adina. Sometimes when you're learning Nigla, you're learning a pratim, as we were talking about before, this Romimus HaNefesh is something that gets revealed as a spark, as a sensitive spark, a gentle spark in the depths of one's heart. That if you learn Sisrei Torah, you feel that connection to Hashem when you're learning Sisrei Torah, and then you go ahead and learn Halakha, there is going to be that spark that is there. It may not be as explicit, may not be as conscious, may not be as strong, but it's going to be there, and it's going to be mounted in the neshama, and you're going to be able to feel something even when you're learning regular Halakha. So here we see the hashpa of the Sisrei Torah and the Tshuka Pnimes and the Kirvat Hashem, the Dveikus that one gets when they learn Sisrei Torah, influencing or impacting the experience of one's learning, even when they're learning Nigla. Rav Kook also talks about the cross-pollination, the influence of Sisrei Torah and Nigla in a letter, which also finds one of the major places where Kook defines Torah's Eretz Yisrael. He goes to Riyah Aleph Igaris Kuf Gimel. Now Kook writes, Eretz Yisrael, Shemakom HaNevuah. Eretz Yisrael, which again is a place of Nevuah. Yishroshim L'Shafa Nevuah B'Seder Lima. There is some type of impression, some type of influence of Nevuah on regular learning. Avanahim was various mitoch hashkafa pnimis. Vein sarah kokach arikos birurim. Hainu avir tzera machkim. He's talking about the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi is much more terse than the Talmud Bavli. There are many fewer questions and answers. Why is that? So you could say because it's a lack of editing. They didn't have time. That's what the Rambam explains. They were persecuted there, so they had to just close up the book without being properly edited. They didn't have a generation to edit it, like they had, or generations like they had by Talmud Bavli. Rav Kook says because Eretz Yisrael is a Malkum Nevuah, even the regular learning is mushpa, is influenced by this koach of nevuah, and therefore it's hashkafa pnimit. It's going to be something more based on intuition and subjective experience, as we'll see. And you don't need so much arichos. You don't need to be mispalpo so much. You don't need so many questions and answers. But Talmud Bavla have mantrilu. Chokmas nevuah she saw the chokmas. But Talmud Bavli is different. Talmud Bavli is mantrilu. I think it's talking about Rav Zera when he there was it was I'm forgetting the exact place where the Gemara of this comes up. I think, if somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, that's about Rav Zera, that when the Talmud Bavli was mantra at him, it bothered him once he was already involved in the style of learning of Eretz Yisrael. The Chokmas HaNevuah, she is so the Chokmas HaAgada, she yatsa b'pnimi shel shor shi HaTorah, pa'ala b'Eretz Yisrael ha'bi yosar b'bavel. And Chokmas HaNevuah, even though Nevuah did not exist in Bayit Sheni and in the Tanaitic and Talmudic periods, still, Chokmas HaNevuah is the yisod of Chokmas HaAgada. There are narratives, there are stories, there's the experience, there's the klalim, there's the general values. So Koach HaNevuah is the foundation for Chokmas HaAgada, which is its tzad pnimi, which it gives you the inner experience and the inner workings of the Torah. That was much more active in Eretz Yisrael than in Bavel, She'inu Ru'iyah. And therefore, I don't remember if Rav Kook says this explicitly in the letter, but all of the Medrash Rabbahs that we have, they're all from Eretz Yisrael. And so there's actually very little Agadata in Talmud Yerushalmi because they published separate books. They wrote them in the Medrash Rabbahs. Talmud Bavli actually has a lot more Agadata than Talmud Yerushalmi, but they didn't produce Midrashim. So Rav Kook also talks about how there's Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi about whether or not the Sanhedrin has a role for focusing on Agadata. And Talmud Yerushalmi says yes. Talmud Bavli leaves out Agadata when darshaning the things that the Sanhedrin is misalchus to. So you see, there is more of an emphasis on Agadata and Piyot also, historically speaking, Piyot also was something that flourished more in Eretz Yisrael than in Bavel. So we see now this the yichud between nevuah and Torah in terms of which would nowadays we don't have nevuah, but we have the eras of nevuah, Sisrei Torah, Agadata, this whole area of Torah that's not normative, it's not halachic, not legal. It gives you a certain experience, and that experience is going to influence the way you learn and process even nevuah. Another characteristic of nevuah, which is there when one studies Sisrei Torah and Agadata and this area of Torah. So we discussed the experiential side, the kirbas Hashem that one feels when they learn this part of Torah. But in order to Torah Yud Yud, there is another element which is connected, and that is the inability to actually, properly rationalize and process what one is learning. Rav Kook writes, "Achas min haflo shel Talmud Razei Torah hi." When one of the amazing things of learning Razei Torah. When somebody learns these things from Ava and Regesh Pnimi, even though you can't fully wrap your head around it, it's hard to process, it's hard to rationalize, it's hard to categorize and conceptualize like one does when one learns Gemara, they still elevate a person's essence. Until you could finally try to understand a little bit of what is going on, but the mystery is always going to be there. Now, Kook, I think, writes in the beginning of Eretz Torah that when one learns Tanakh, or Nach, one has the impression that there are Nogiyav and Nogiyav, like you're touching but not really touching it. It's hard to really pin down precisely what is being said, but the general ideas are they run over you, they enter you, and they give you a certain feeling of kirva to Hashem. So that is true for Nevuah, and it is also true for Razei Torah. They give you a certain experience even when you don't fully understand them. Another element of Torah, of Koach HaNevuah, which is present to a lesser degree, but still present when one learns Sisrei Torah, Chasidus, Pnimius Torah, Agadata, and things of that sort. So we discuss the experience, we discuss sometimes the inability to fully process and rationalize, but nonetheless, there is still value. And a third thing is this, the subjectivity or the intuition that is more present when one is learning Sifrei Nevuah or having Nevuah or learning Sisrei Torah than when one is learning regular Gemara. Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh Aleph Kuf Gimel, Nevuah v'Ruach HaKodesh ba'im b'dvar Hashem lifnimiyusel shel Adam. Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh come as Dvar Hashem through the in to the inside of a person. U'mitocho heim nishpa'im l'chol ma'ash nogea l'olam kulo. And from this internal subjective place, that is where they go out and you could save them out to the rest of the world. When one learns a Daf Gemara and one learns Shulchan Aruch, one is learning something that is, so to speak, external to them, teaching them how to act. But because Nevuah is more of an experience of Kirvat Hashem, there is obviously an intellectual component as well, as Rambam describes in Moreh Nevuchim, and Rav Kook agrees to. But it is also a very deep, profound experience of, like Yirmiyahu says, Ke'esh bo'er ba'atzmosai, it is like a fire burning in my bones. There is something deep within which comes out then to the outside. So that connects the fact that it's less processed, it's something that is going to be terser, it's going to be something that's harder to put your finger on, but nonetheless, something that is deeply experiential and deeply meaningful and deeply personal. And when one combines the experience of learning that one has from Sisrei Torah, Agadata, philosophy, whatever it is, but things that talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the human being and the experience of Yados and the experience of feeling closeness to Hashem, and then one goes ahead and learns regular Gemara, there's going to create this yichud of the rational engagement with practical details of life, with this deep experience of kirva to Hashem, and they're going to mutually influence each other and mutually benefit each other, and you're going to be able to take, like Rav Kook said, some of that experience even into the world of regular learning, so you could see how the presence of Hashem and this kirva to Hashem is really present in each and every detail of halacha. And Rav Kook has Rav Kook, Rav Kook sometimes has a Has and I didn't put it on the sheet, but Rav Kook has a passage in first person. We end off with like a tefillah that Hashem should allow him to see the dveikus of Hashem, the aura of Hashem in each and every detail of halakha, whether or not it seems apparent on the surface or not. And it's important to note that for Rav Kook, this sugya was deeply personal, not just because the Koach HaNevuah and Sisrei Torah are more focused on the experience, the experiential side, and not as much as Gemara on the rational, intellectual, cerebral side, but also because Rav Kook defined himself as somebody that was more noted towards this type of learning. Look at Shimon HaKvatz and Vav Samach Tes, Rav Kook writes, "In my b'tivi bal gadda bal mestorin, I, in my nature, am a bal gadda bal mestorin. This is the area of the Torah that I'm naturally attracted to. And any sarafli kanos kol kach b'chalki halacha b'niglos. Mikol makom inin karoivo main gam kilchomos elo kilo lachinam kanani Hashem kishron kishron gam behem." So Rav Kook has a couple of passages in his diaries where he struggles to justify, to explain, to make peace with his own netios in Talmud Torah. And he's like, "I can't abandon halacha and nigla because I have chovos, and Hashem gave me a talent in them. I have to pass and shilos." You know, Rav Kook knew, if I recall the memoirs correctly, Rav Kook knew Shas, Shaka Vatari, about that. He would walk around the Beis Medrash, asking, learn, see what people were doing, and just recite the Shaka Vatari, the Gemara. I mean, his chuvos are obviously unbelievable. They're first class in terms of their godless Torah and bekiyos and kol Torah kula in their regular halachic sense. Rav Kook says, nonetheless, even though he has obligations and talents in a nigla, he is beteva a bala gadol bal mestorin. And if you go through this piece, he says he feels some anxiety about his lack of, on his level, his lack of expertise in Gemara and Halakha, and Halakha's and niglos, but he has to take inner strength, he says, because this is the way Hashem made him. And he says, his koach, his unique koach, is more in the world of bala gadol mestorin. And he says, Shinikar or towards the end of the piece, his unique kalak is more recognizable, Hofasa Kalak Shali, Baza, Basa Dibra Masudar, Hapitomi, Imanashim Ru'im Laza, Vacholeshos Oras Aruach, Shemotiani B Ezu Geniza Timuna. And when he's talking in a organized but pitomi fashion, he's having a conversation about a topic of learning, about a topic in Kabbalah, with Anashim Ru'im Laza, Yakumar Shakala, with the Nazir, with the Tri Yudah, with somebody who's on that level. In Pitomi, something's going to have a sorrow, he's going to have a sorrow, sorrow, and he's going to come up with a new idea. That is where the way Rav Kook defined himself, and much more as in terms of his nature, in terms of his teva, much more in the line of the Koach HaNevuah, Teresh Miksav, Sifrei Torah, Panimius and Torah, and some of the passages, which I didn't put on the sheet, but I'm happy to share with anybody who wants. He describes the sort of tension he has with still requiring himself to learn Gemara Halakha. I'm sure sometimes he feels, he's able to see the kolam and the pratim and the ruchnios and the details of Halakha in the nigla. But some of the pieces he ends up with at the end, like davening, that Hashem should help him see the ruchnios in the nigla. And it's an amazing thing to see in first person, Rav Kook himself struggling to not feel anxiety over the lack over spending time during learning Sisrei Torah as opposed to Gemara Halakha. And his own attempt at synthesizing these two areas of Torah within himself, that is part of the yichud of Torah's Eretz Yisrael. So, as opposed to now that what we discussed, the first type of yichud, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, Kolam and Pratim, you don't necessarily need, I guess, the experiential spirituality part. You don't need the Sisrei Torah. You have people that learn Tanakh and good Rabbi, let's say Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. He's not really drawing from the world of Kabbalah so much. They very beautifully articulates what some of the general values of Yahadus are based on Tanakh and the commentators in Tanakh. Here we're talking about a different aspect of Torah Shabbat, which are obviously related, which has to do with the experiential spirituality and uniting both those areas of Tanakh, the Klalim and the experiential spirituality, which are both there in a Sifrei Nevuah with the Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh, Gemara Halakha. That is part of what creates Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Just to conclude. And Midrash, we see Rav Kook was thinking about these ideas very early on. Midrash Shur, or the drashos he gave when he was a shul rav back in Europe, I'm forgetting which shul. Rav Kook writes, "The distinction between Torah and Nevuah is something which is only true nowadays. That we don't yet have the full light of Torah in the world. Torah is going to be within us. The Torah is going to be internal within us. Then the us and Lavo, then we're going to see this unification. Sisrei Torah no longer going to be Seser. Nevuah is no longer going to be something that is difficult to grasp and beyond our imagination and difficult to understand. It's going to be nigla for all, and we're going to be able to create. And when is that going to happen? When the Torah is written on our hearts, when the Torah is made internally, this subjective, intuitive part of the Torah, and that is going to create the ultimate yichud of Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaal-Peh, as described in this drasha in Midbar Shur. And Amir Hashem, in the next session, we're going to take this notion of intuition, of subjectivity, which Rav Kook highlights as being part of Sisrei Torah, and we're going to see how Rav Kook used it to develop a curriculum, a much more individualized curriculum for what type of Torah a person should be focusing on when they're trying to engage in Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great, great day. Kol Tov.